Welcome to the Knox Soccer Podcast, where we tell the soccer stories of our favorite big town, little city, Knoxville, Tennessee, and around the world. I'm Patrick Teasdale.
And I'm Brian Gabriel Canever.
And on today's episode, man, we have a special guest, Tim from the Scruffs. And to be honest, Brian, this one's a long time coming. Like this, when we were coming up with the podcast itself, we're like, we got to have the supporter club, whatever the name, whoever they are, we need to have them on the pod. So what, our third podcast season in, and we finally come good on that bet, on that episode.
So I think we were just waiting to have the right personality on, and you know, no one fits that role better of commander and chief, director, head officer, cacique of the Scruffs, and Tim Vacek. But we're going to get into that in a little bit. It's great to have one of our very own Scruffies, as Coach McKeever likes to call him, on the pod.
Matt, I feel like now I have to sign off.
Yes, Tim, welcome to the Knox Soccer Podcast. How are you this evening?
I'm outstanding. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Awesome. So it is Monday, March 18th when we're speaking. I am reporting from in my basement, where I am surrounded by, for those of you who haven't had the luxury of seeing it on the pod, my one Knox flag is stage right. My handmade portrait of Lionel Messi that was made by Sean Slate, a fellow One Knoxville supporter in Knoxville, is behind me. And then I've got my depressing Everton flag of Goodison Park directly above me. This was the best weekend as an Evertonian since we didn't get relegated last year, and that's because Everton didn't play. Nottingham Forest had 4 points deducted. Everybody around us lost. It was like, what a weekend of soccer. It's never better than when your team isn't playing and they can't disappoint you. Tim, I know you've had a very busy weekend of soccer. I want to get into the One Knoxville stuff, though I'm sure life as a Spurs fan is probably doing, it's pretty good for you, isn't it, right now?
It wasn't this weekend. If we could talk about just the second game that I watched this weekend and not the first game that I watched, that would be great. But yes, outside of the embarrassment against Fulham, it's been really exciting. And obviously, all Spurs supporters are really excited about what Ange Postecoglou is bringing, not just on the pitch, but just what an incredible guy off the pitch. We love, I almost like watching his interviews as much as I like watching us play on the field.
That's what I've tried to get a handle on my usage of social media, and so I haven't been on Instagram that often, but every time I do pop on Instagram, one of like the, you know, 10 or 75 soccer accounts that I follow has a clip of Ange arguing with a reporter during a press conference, and you know, I love it. So I start with Spurs in the Premier League only because it was until this past Saturday, when One Knox opened their season against Charlotte Independence, it had been like nearly 6 months since we had last seen soccer. You know, Tim is the current chair of the Knoxville Scruffs, the supporters group for One Knoxville. Tim, what was the offseason like for you and for the Scruffs? How did you stay busy? Did you just stay in your home, just counting down the days, ticking off the boxes on your calendar until March 16th when footy came back to Knoxville?
Yeah, it was a weird feeling because the off season is a little bit longer than the Premier League off season is, but at the same time, knowing that we wanted this season, this coming season in 2024 to be even bigger than what last season was, it was like it was long, but also my wheels were constantly spinning about how do we make this coming season even better than last season. And so in a way, it was just kind of the blink of an eye also as we were just getting ready for all the big plans that we have for 2024. I think 2023 was an incredibly exciting year. Obviously, didn't end up finishing in the table where we wanted to, but I think we saw what this club can be long term, and we saw big steps forward from USL 2 year And so I think it was a long period of time, but also kind of an exciting one, as we were just in so much anticipation for what this coming season was going to be like.
So I'm glad that you brought up USL2, because for a lot of Knoxvillians who are just getting into One Knoxville, they know this is the second year the team is pro, and we've covered the team's debut season in the USL League One pretty extensively, and they forget that there was the USL 2 year 2 years ago, which was really, really special. You've been around that long. Several of the Scruffs have been around that long, and our listeners, they're familiar with Kevin and Susan Carnes, and they're familiar with Dakota Booth. They've heard of the Scruffs. Can you tell us more about this supporters group and its evolution since you first got involved to the position that it occupies now, which is, you know, you are officially the chair of the group. It's not just a bunch of guys who hang out on match day in a cordoned off area, just jumping and dancing and singing, but it's much more than that. So can you tell us more about the Scruffs?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, Dakota very much was the one who got the ball rolling for us back in the USL 2 days. And he and his family have since moved away from Tennessee, but his heart has not at all moved away from One Knox. I can say that for sure. He got us really started, and it was a really organic process. This group of people that I think would not have been together otherwise if it hadn't been for the sports. Which is one of the reasons that we love soccer so much, right? Soccer is community. And I know, Brian, you know that better than anybody. And soccer does that, I think, more than any other sport does. And so our community really built in this really natural and beautiful way. And I've got people that I've only known for 2 years, but I consider them to be family members now because of the trials and tribulations in the stands that we've been through together, and we did decide, you're right, I've been chosen and elected as the chairperson. We made the decision as the 2023 season wrapped up that we needed to make things a little bit more official, and so we had our members submit nominations for our board members, and then had an election after that. And so we do have an official board now, but I think the biggest thing that I want to get out there is that you said we're not just a group of folks cordoned off in the stands, and that is exactly right. We want this to be as open and inclusive as possible. I think sometimes there's this misconception because we are kind of the ultras, the nice ultras, but because we are that group, it's kind of a members only invitation, and that could not be further from the truth. We would love to have anybody and everybody, any of the Knox Soccer Podcast listeners out there who have been curious about us and wonder, like, I wonder what those guys are like in person. Come stop by a tailgate. Come, if you can't make it before the match, come to our section. Come sing a song with us. Introduce yourself to me or to Jacob or to Kevin, who's banging on the drums. We're all really welcoming folks, and we would love to have you come out and be a part of what we do.
What I appreciate about the Scruffs, I mean, you say guys, but it's really, yes, it's really a diverse group, you know, guys, gals, absolutely, young and old. I mean, it's not just the recent college grads that don't have a job and all they want to do is, you know, take off their shirt and paint, you know, One Knox, you know, it's like, it's a very diverse group, which is so cool and welcoming. I mean, I can attest to that. So,
yeah, I think I had two favorite moments last season with the Scruffs. As many of our listeners know, I served as the PA for One Knoxville last season. Year before, I was a color commentator. What's kind of weird this year is that I have no official role. I'll, you know, be watching the games with my family, which I'm really excited about. I haven't gotten to watch any One Knoxville games with my wife and kids. But, you know, we might venture over there to the Scruff section because I had a good friend occasionally listen to the pod, Deb Krause, former soccer player from Seymour. And she went to her first One Knox game, and her little boy made himself over to the Scruff section and got to play on the drums. You know, her boy was like 2 or 3 years old, and she sent me that video. She was like, he had the time of his life. And And then my other favorite memory was when I was up in the booth doing PA, and I'm with Sam Weisbrod, who runs the collective, the nonprofit side of the club, and he gets an email from an angry fan after One Knox has just scored a goal. You know, the smoke bombs go up. You've got the pink smoke, and this person, they were just like, "This is unacceptable. You guys need to do something about these people. You're not letting me vape. I can't bring my vape into the stadium, but they can throw smoke bombs everywhere." And we were just sitting there kind of cackling, and I was like, "That's great." They said they weren't going to renew their season tickets because the Scruffs had run them off. And I was like, "Oh, man, that's great. I love it."
I mean, here's the thing. We know there are some people who don't like the smoke. The players love the smoke. And if the players love something that we do, then we're going to keep doing it because, you know, more than anything else, we are there to try to add that atmosphere that's going to get them that much more excited. We wish that we could have the smoke go, you know, away from folks as quickly as possible. And we'll work on that. We've got some plans in the works to try to make that happen. But yeah, the smoke's not going anywhere.
Yeah. Well, so you mentioned the players, and I wanted to get into personnel with you because supporters groups know this better than anyone. It's often said by the leaders of supporters group that it's the club over everything. You know, that players come and go, but the loyalty to the club, it's always there. It always stays. However, you know, you start to develop relationships with the players. I know you guys recently got to partner with Jordan Skelton for a cool initiative that you're going to tell us about in a little while. But just looking at the names, you know, we got to see this past weekend, new faces. Sivert Haugli has joined the team. Stuart Ritchie was on the field. And Shuti Innocent, the new forward that's coming. Kingsford Ajay, like, there's been all these faces that have come in. There's been a lot of players that we lost. I know, you know, one of the ones that I suffered, he didn't play a ton last season, but I love seeing Sam Fletcher, who had been with us in the USL 2 days. You know, he sadly departed. What has it been like for you and for the Scruffs in terms of the players coming in and out? I know that there was a close relationship between several of the Scruffs and Sebastian Andreasen, who left much earlier last season than, you know, than anyone expected. But yeah, what's that been like for you, the personnel changes?
It's a different experience because I think, you know, most of us come from a pretty passionate soccer supporter background. But of course, we are really a part of these, like, you know, parasocial relationships. You know, with me as a Tottenham supporter, you know, watching my son grow up loving Son Heung-min and, you know, idolizing everything that he does and who he is on the pitch. But he's never met Son. We don't have a relationship with him, right? And so we do have relationships with these guys. We do get to hang out with them after matches. And you're right, Skelts has been incredibly gracious with his time with the initiative that we'll talk about here in a little bit. And I was actually over at training last week for a video that by the time this podcast airs, the video will be out on social media and you will want to make sure you don't miss it. So check our media at Knox Scruffs. But yeah, those personal relationships with players, it's one of the things that makes this club so special. And so it's incredible and also really hard. I'm afraid if I name any players that I'm going to leave somebody out. So I'm going to intentionally not name in anybody specifically, but certainly the guys that have moved on to different clubs after last year, it's heartbreaking because it wasn't just a name or you know, somebody that you just watched on TV. These were people that we knew and shook their hands and gave them hugs after every game. So that's hard. But by the same token, you're exactly right. We're super excited about the new guys who have come in. Sivi, I tell you, when we saw that team sheet, we're sitting around at the tailgate on Saturday and we see the team sheet come out and we're trying to figure out with those defenders in there, what is our formation going to look like? We talked about a lot of possibilities. Nobody brought up the possibility of Sivi in the six, but man, he looked good playing in the six.
I agree with you. That threw me off too when I turned on the broadcast. And you know, my wife and I, we've got three little kids. We've added one since the last One Knock season. He was actually born the morning of Hispanic Heritage Night. And so it's ironic that, you know, I was really excited for Hispanic Heritage Night. Many of our listeners know I'm Argentinian. And then our son's born a month early that day, makes me miss the game. You know, but so now we got there. We're trying to get all three of them down to bed. I missed the start of the game. And so I like turn it on and I'm like, Angelo Kelly's like high up the field. What's going on? I'm like, wait, where's Civi playing? I'm like, I can't quite figure it out. I'm like, holy, wait, are we playing three center? No, we're not playing three center backs. And so that's one of the things that I love about having new faces onto the team, because obviously we know that McKeever's a system guy. He's got a formation. He's got tactics that he's developed, but players, they bring different variations. They bring their own personalities and styles. And sometimes you work around that style. And so I think everybody kind of expected he was going to be your, you know, traditional center back. And then he didn't play that role. He played in that holding midfield role. So I want to talk about the game because I also noticed when I turned on the broadcast, you know, to the left of my screen, I just like caught a little glimpse of the Scruffs flag. And I was like, wait, did they travel 4.5 hours to Charlotte? And then I'm like, I see Jacob there, you know, and I'm like, okay. And then I start to get a glimpse of Susan and Kevin, and I think I see Carly, and then I'm like, oh, Tim's there. What's going on? Did they bring a whole contingent out? So can you tell our listeners about that? You guys made the road trip for the home game. You sat there, you know, off to the side. What was that experience like traveling, so taking it in, and then watching some what I thought was some really entertaining, aggressive, winning soccer, and we got the 3 points.
Yeah, it was great. And, you know, we got to go on a handful of road trips last year. Went to Greenville twice, to Lexington the one time, and then one that was not as much fun when we went to East Ridge for that Red Wolves match. But that was a big thing that we really wanted to expand into in the 23 season was road trips, and we're going to continue that this year. I know that this is probably not going to debut until after the Open Cup match, but earlier tonight, we're recording on Monday night, I was finishing unpacking from Charlotte and also repacking for Asheville at the same time. So yeah, we were down in Charlotte. We had a good crew. We had, I guess, about 10 scruffs. And then we also had a handful who came over and joined us as the match went on. Sean O'Hearn had some close friends who were in attendance. And I think they realized that their game commentary was not really appreciated in the Charlotte Independent section. And so they decided to come over where they would be more embraced. And so we welcomed them to our section and let them sing with us. And yeah, it was great. And I have to give a lot of credit to the Mecklenburg Reserves, the Charlotte Independent supporters group, a really nice group of folks. They were excellent hosts for us at a joint tailgate that we had before the match. And we had a good time hanging out with them. In terms of the match itself, you really already said it. I mean, just some really exciting, dynamic attacking football. I personally thought the 2-1 scoreline actually flattered the hosts. I never really felt like they were in the match whatsoever, and so I thought it was great for us to have that immediate response after conceding the equalizer to come right back down just 3 minutes later and find the winner. And I, as a guy who is undersized myself, any time that the winning goal comes from an undersized player with a header, that's fantastic for me. But I thought Angelo was fantastic going forward. Frank, you know, obviously had a little bit of injury struggles last year. It looked like he was maybe back to his full explosive self. I felt the same way with Sean O'Hearn. I don't think we ever really saw him healthy last year. He looked like a completely different player. I thought he was absolutely excellent. And I understand, I'm going to say this, and you'll like this, I understand why Angelo Kelly was the player of the match, because, you know, a guy gets an assist and a goal, and you have to name him the player of the match. But for me, the best player on the pitch on Saturday night was Danny the Bull. That guy's silky defending in some really tight spots. You will like this comparison. Unfortunately, Patty will not like this comparison. But there were times where he reminded me of a more in control Cuti Romero, in just how silky he was able to just snipe the ball off the attacker, and in one deft touch, all of a sudden the attack is going the other way. I thought he was just outstanding. But really, to a man, I thought everybody played really well, and definitely gave us a lot to be optimistic about heading into the season.
So what's funny, they call, in Argentina, they call Cuti Romero El Serrucho de los Andes, which is the Andean handsaw. And, you can guesstimate why they call him that, because he may be one of the best defenders in Europe, but like every other match, you know, he's getting sent off. And so I feel like Angelo Kelly embodies that spirit. He's the Honduran handsaw for one Knox, you know. And I was actually, you know, we could talk about this on Saturday at the tailgate, but I thought Danny Fernandez was the defender who we might see make way for Civi when Civi came in. We hadn't really seen, you know, like Jordan kind of has stayed in that central role. We always see Danny out wide. We never really see him in the center of that back three. And so I was like, maybe he sits out and we see Civi in there. And he played, and, you know, he's another one that's been there from day one. We remember him, I think early in the USL2 season, he split his head open. And then right when he was getting ready to come back, he suffered a concussion. And so he had to sit like 3 or 4 games. And I remember seeing how miserable he looked when he wasn't playing. So glad to see Danny the Bull back. And speaking of, you know, big games, big moments, on Wednesday, you know, this podcast will likely drop Thursday morning, but on Wednesday, One Knox makes a short trip over to Asheville for the return of the Smoky Mountain Derby. And we were there 2 years ago for it. Patty and I actually traveled with the Derby in our car to that match. I'm sorry, with the boot in our car to that match. I'll never forget, you know, Jamesy Thomas sending in that cross, Buster Schulberg, the big Swede, heading it in, and then Jamesy celebrating with the Scruffs who are in attendance. It was a beautiful memory. So they've got that derby, and then it's back-to-back derby days, because it's on Saturday, Lexington SC, the team that we beat in the home opener last year, 2-1. You know, one of the players that scored on that night, Jimmy Villalobos, is gone. He's off to Madison. We've got new players in. We know the Scruffs love their tailgates. They love their TIFOs. Based on what I've seen on X, formerly known as Twitter, Scruffs love taking some digs at Lexington. So what is the feeling among the group ahead of Saturday, and what special things do you have planned for the home opener?
I'm glad you asked that, because we're going to do our first ever chili cook-off at the home opener at the tailgate. And we've got several folks who were signed up to be a part of that. So it really is, it's the perfect tailgate. If you've never come and hung out with us before a match in the past, this is the perfect one to test it out, because we should have lots of really good food. And I don't know if it's going to be quite as cold as it was for that game last year, but man, that season opener, it was chilly by the time the second half rolled around. But we'll have the chili to keep you warm. If you don't know where we are, we always meet back behind the south goal, which is that goal where most of the parking is as you come into Regal Soccer Stadium. So come find us there. You'll probably see our flag flying. We've got a flagpole that we put up there near our tailgate. And so, yeah, we'd love for you to come out and join us at the at that tailgate. While you're there, we'd love to talk to you about becoming an official member. That's something else that we brought on board this year, is that for $20 you can become officially a member of the Scruffs, but it really pays for itself with all the perks that you get. All those are available if you check the link in our social media bio, which maybe you guys could have, I guess, linked in the show notes as well. And you know, one of the things, as we talked about earlier, is that we want to make sure that our group is as inclusive as it can possibly be, and so the decision to have this official membership this year was not to exclude people. And in fact, if you choose to just be a casual member and come out and not pay the dues, that's totally fine. Nobody is going to say anything to you. We'd love for you to come and hang out, whether you paid the $20 or not. It really was more to help us organize, and then also to make it where we were more financially sustainable. There were a number of us that just over the years, these first few years of the club's existence, all the things that you see that we do on match day, whether that's the paint that Daniel has for the TIFO, whether that's the smoke, whether that's you know, whatever we have at our tailgates, the drums that Kevin is buying, the international flags so that we can make all of our international boys feel welcome and feel at home. All of those were just individual expenses that a number of us were willing to pay just because we wanted to do so. And we didn't mind doing it, but at the same time, we recognized that we needed to probably get onto safer financial ground where we weren't just counting on individuals to do that, and we actually have a budget. So we'd love to talk to you about that if you come by the tailgate. But again, if not, we really just want you to come and hang out with us and be a part of what we do.
Yeah, so I popped up the link just now, which we'll share in the show notes. For $20, you get a free Scruffs keychain, you get a $5 discount on a Scruffs scarf, and you get some free tickets to home games. I mean, the perks are incredible for the investment. I think $20 is what like a regular coffee at Starbucks costs nowadays. And so, I mean, I'd much rather invest that in the scruff. So I'll be doing it. I hope our listeners also, drop 20 bones and become a member of the scruffs.
Haley, we'll have to go without Starbucks for one day for you to become a member. And I'll do the same. We'll fast.
I calculated the Starbucks budget for 2023. I don't want to tell you the number. I'm just letting you know, if I want to buy a new fishing rod this year, I'm buying a new fishing rod. That's all I got to say. Okay. We got off topic a little bit. I was thinking back to the match last year and how chilly it really was. And I was trying to come up with a clever, phrase. And I think it's chilly to fight off the chills, even though according to the weather forecast, I think the low for Saturday, the 23rd is in the mid 40s, but the high is in 62. So if we get mid 50s, I think we'll be fine. We'll be able to hang in there. All right, Tim. So you talked to us about what's happening on Saturday, but it's a long season. There's a lot of stuff happening. There's a new intra-league competition that's debuting within USL League One. And so for those who haven't followed along, there's going to be the regular league season, just like last year. Top teams, top half of the table will go into the playoffs, but there's also going to be a cup competition happening with those same teams throughout the season. It's going to be called the Jägermeister Cup, which is I didn't even know they made I thought Jägermeister.
Are you serious? It's called the Jägermeister Cup?
It is. I thought Jägermeister
is incredible.
Yeah, to me, I haven't seen Jägermeister since 2004. So I didn't know it still existed, but apparently it is, and it's the Jägermeister Cup. But besides the Jägermeister Cup, there's tons of games. There's tons of events, not just the stuff that's happening on the field, but stuff that's happening out in the community. I know that you guys have a really cool thing planned for April when the Knoxville Marathon takes place. Tim, can you tell us about some of the stuff that the Scruffs are getting involved with this season?
Yeah, so we really got the community service wing up and running in 2023 and did some really cool things, but I think the biggest thing that we've launched is we are in the midst of and does connect to the Knoxville Marathon. I feel like I got to tell a quick story to give a little bit of I think really good context, especially because I'm talking to a couple of soccer dads on the podcast right now. But so my wife and I have a son. He'll be 9 years old here in one week from today, and he's played soccer all his life. But we kind of didn't know if competitive soccer was going to be his thing. But he comes to all games and he is, a Scruffs celebrity. All the Scruffs love him at the tailgates and at games and that kind of thing. They always want him to take the bullhorn from me. I think maybe that's a comment about my singing voice. But there's a match in the late summer. And the next morning, my wife comes up to me and says, "Are you aware that your son is going up to people at Scruffs tailgates and telling them that he's trying out for One Knox?" And I said, "No, I was not aware of that. I feel like probably we need to take a look and see if that's even a possibility." So I go on the website and I look and see that the makeup date for the makeup date was 24 hours away from when he made that decision that he was going to try out for the youth club. And long story short, big shout out to Paige, who was the only kid his age group to be there at the tryout, and Paige was incredible with him. And he made one of the teams. He's on the 2015 Orange Boys team, and he's having a great time there as one of the members of that team and playing for his city. But we feel incredibly privileged because my wife and I are both career professionals, and so we can afford for him to be able to play youth club soccer. But I know you guys as dads are not to this stage yet, but I'm telling you, get ready because it's expensive. It's expensive when you get to that age.
I mean, I know it. I think I know it very intimately, even though I haven't had to spend that money yet, just being Argentinian and looking at the contrast between how U.S. soccer works versus soccer in Latin America or basically anywhere else in the world, except for maybe Australia. But I've always feared the expense. I was a coach for 3 years. I coached for Emerald Youth Soccer Club. I coached a 0001 girls soccer team. And, you know, I think our fees were like $150 for the year. Plus you had to pay for tournaments separately and jerseys, you know, and like at the time, I think some other local clubs were charging, you know, 10 times that. And so I've often been, I think part of the reason why I get so involved, is because there's going to come a time when my kids graduate out of Monsters that I have to pull Sam Weisbrot aside and be like, okay, so how are we going to make this work? You know, how many teams do I have to coach? What am I going to do? And I also, I'm really excited to be able to coach my kids' teams when the time comes, because I have a, you know, I have my own philosophy of the beautiful game. I think I jokingly say that only Junior Santos is the only person who's allowed to coach my kids other than me.
My son, James, who I'm holding right now, is about to cry. We started a college/sports fund. So whichever path he takes, you know, professional sports fund or college. Because I already see it that, yeah, thanks for the warning, Tim. It is expensive.
Absolutely. And like I said, we feel really privileged that when our son is going around to a tailgate, telling people that he's trying out for One Knox, that we have the financial means to be able to tell him, yes, you can be on the team. But I'm going to tell you guys, there is the one thing, as much as I love this sport, one thing that I cannot stomach is the idea that there would be a kid out there who may want to play, but isn't afforded that opportunity simply for financial reasons. And anything that we as the Scruffs can do to help make that where any kid who wants to play soccer can play soccer, because we know what it can do. We know when it is at its best. We know what type of community that it builds. We know what type of friendships that it builds with those kids when they're playing together. And so we want to do anything that we can to make it where any kid in Knoxville who wants to play for One Knox can play for One Knox. So we have started a fundraiser, and it is connected with the marathon. We've put together a marathon relay team. I am on the relay team. My wife is on the team. And we've got One Knoxville managing partner, Drew McKenna. And we've got a markman on the team. And we've got one of the good markmans. I won't say if that means that there's one in particular that might be a bad markman. But we've got Owen Markman as our anchor leg and the fourth leg of the marathon relay. And we're really excited that we got one of our younger scruffs out there that is going to be running for this as well. So we've put together.
I'd say that's the best markman.
That's right. Well, I didn't want to say the best markman because I mean, really, there are three that I think are top notch.
I think they're all top notch. Thank you, Markman's Diamonds, for sponsoring the Knox Soccer Podcast. We hope that you continue to sponsor the Knox Soccer Podcast after this episode airs.
So yeah, we're really excited, and I know that Jeff is excited to have Owen out there running, and I could say that Jeff and I have become good friends thanks to the Scruffs. Another example of the Scruffs building those friendships, and I'm really excited that he's going to be a part of that relay team. But basically, I went to Drew and said, look, if we do a fundraiser for One Knox Youth Club scholarships, would you be willing to match us dollar for dollar? And he said up to $1,000, absolutely, which was a much higher number than I had in mind. And we're off to a pretty good start. We've already raised $330, which, you know, the club's going to double that and make it $660. But we can get up to $1,000. And, you know, the beautiful thing is that every dollar is going to count here. If you can afford $5, you're actually donating $10 to these scholarships. And if we can manage to raise $2,000 total for youth club scholarships, that would be a real blessing. I think for this city and the future of soccer in the city. So all the information about the relay and about our fundraiser is on our social media, and it's the top link on our link tree on our social media bio. And you mentioned Skelts earlier. I reached out to him. I was putting together a video to announce the event, and I realized that I've listened to Skelts. There was a game last season where it was pretty much an empty stadium in Greenville because of the weather delays. And that was actually, it was unfortunately the match that we lost, but one of my favorite memories from last year, because I got to just listen to Jordan Skelton for 90 minutes because there were so few people in the stadium. And I realized he has a much better voice than I do. And so I asked him to narrate the video for us, and he did. He did a great job with that. And so you can watch that video on the link. And we would love if you have the means to be able to donate, we would love for you to do so. If you don't completely understand that too, come out and cheer us on the race course, or just spread the word, and let everybody know that we're trying to do this and hopefully grow the game, in our scruffy little city.
So I was going to ask you about this season from a perspective, if the team was putting any, you know, $1 million bets down on one Knoxville beating Nashville SC to win the U.S. Open Cup, or one Knoxville demolishing the East Ridge Red Wolves 10-1 to win the Jägermeister Cup. But it sounds like all monetary funds are being put down to allow our young kids and the people in our community who grew up loving one Knox to get a chance to play soccer, representing the city and representing the crest that they love.
Absolutely. This club very much cares about the fans, cares about the kids that are growing up and developing their love for the sport. And we don't have to get too deep into an MLS rabbit hole on this podcast, but we'll just say that one Knoxville's ownership has a slightly different ethos and vision to what most of the MLS owners have.
Yeah. And so on that note, kind of, you know, taking it back around, right, to what it means for the Scruffs to exist and for you and all of the individual members who make up the Scruffs community, because how many members are the Scruffs at right now, Tim?
So in terms of dues paying members, we are, last I checked, we were up to 44. And that's not necessarily the number that we have at games. We probably have had, you know, about 100 who have kind of come in and out of our section. We don't necessarily have 100 for every game, but probably 100 or so who have been in our section at some point or another. So 44, we're off to a really good start.
So you've got 44 dues paying members. You've got over 100 folks who have come through and participated in the match day experience with the Scruffs. And, you know, you and your small leadership team are the ones who are coordinating everything from the newsletter to the tailgates to the fan merch, to, you know, all of these pieces that go into operating a supporters group. And I'm really curious for you, because for all of us, 3 years ago, this didn't exist. There was no professional soccer in Knoxville. The highest level of soccer that you could watch for a time was, you know, Knoxville Force, Emerald Force was in the NPSL, though it was very different setup than what we see now. So in these past 3 years, how has being involved impacted you? Has it affected your experience as a soccer fan? And has it affected the way that you see yourself as a Knoxvillian? What's the impact been on your life?
It's year three, and Brian, sometimes I still have to pinch myself to believe that this is real, because I've lived in Knoxville since I came on campus as a freshman at the University of Tennessee in the fall of 2000, and I've been here ever since. And I absolutely love this community. I've been a teacher at Bearden High School for 18 years now. I met my wife in this city. Our son was born in this city, and it means the world to me. but this sport does also. I never thought that those two things could possibly coexist. I always thought that they would be two separate loves, that East Tennessee would be home and that the mountains would be home, but that my love of soccer would exist outside of where I was from. And so this is an absolute dream come true, which is why, you know, the stuff that I do to coordinate for the Scruffs is, it's something that I do from a place of joy and love, because I just never envisioned that this could come to our city. And so I'm going to do anything that I possibly can to make it as sustainable as possible. And I'm just a tiny, tiny piece in that puzzle. But anything that I can do to make this club more successful, I'm gonna pour myself into that tenfold.
It is also good to hear from another passionate Knoxvillian and soccer fan that those two can merge and have merged, and it is a beautiful thing. And after that first game, I'm really jazzed because last year it ended on a womp womp, you know, and I'm like, but I'm still here for it. Let's go one Knox.
Heck yeah. So Patty and I are going to be there on Saturday. Tim and the Scruffs are going to be there on Saturday. We hope that you are going to be there on Saturday to celebrate one Knoxville's home opener against Lexington for the Battle of the Barrel. There's going to be chili. There's going to be hangs. I'm certain there are going to be goals. Tim, I want to give you the final word before we leave here. Is there anything you want to say or that you want to shout out that we haven't gotten a chance to discuss? We will leave everything in the show notes so that everybody can follow along to how they become a Scruffs member, how they contribute to the fundraiser for the youth club. But anything you want to say to send us out?
I think any way that you want to participate and be a part of the Scruffs, we would love to have you. One thing that you can be aware of for Saturday that's going to be new this year is that before the match, in the build-up to the match, and then right after the match, win, lose, or draw, coming over the PA, they're going to play the Beatles' Hey Jude, and we're going to sing Na 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 Knoxville. And we want every single person in that stadium to sing that with us. No lyrics you have to learn. You don't have to learn any complex lyrics to our songs. Just sing for your city. And we did it in Charlotte. And in fact, I think it was the call that the boys heard. They as soon as we started singing Hey Jude, they kind of stopped shaking hands with Charlotte Independence and came over and hung out with us. So I think the players love it. I think it's a great way for us to pay tribute to our city. We would love to hear you guys singing it loud on Saturday night at Regal Soccer Stadium.
All right, that's the word from Tim Bosek, chairperson of the Scruffs. I am your co-host, Brian Gabriel Canever. That's all for me.
Subscribe to the Knox Soccer Podcast newsletter. Also, subscribe to the Scruffs newsletter. Probably the most enjoyable email. Be sure to sign up for that. It's amazing.
And I love you, Jeff Markman. Keep sponsoring this show, please.
All righty, y'all. Thank you for joining us. We will see you on Saturday. Vamos One Knox. Peace.
Huge thanks to Markman Jewelers and Union Place Bar and Grill for sponsoring the Knox Soccer Podcast.